Spring is known for many things like love, flowers, warm weather, and now purchasing homes. Anjuka, a real estate listing platform online, has released a report saying Chinese are buying houses during the season. They also said these homes aren't being purchased in the cities where these people work. Why are Chinese investing in cities where they aren't currently residing, and how will this affect the overall landscape of real estate in China? Guys, can you kind of explain what this report is saying?
Well, yes, the reason why we are saying we feel a little warmth in the housing market is because we have some figures from recently from 28 real estate companies in China, and they'll release their sales figure for January, and their total transaction amounted to 413 billion yuan, and that was an increase of 65% from the same period last year. And the figure for first and second tier cities have, well, remained stable. So the increase was largely driven by the transactions in third and fourth tier cities, and which is why analysts believe the sales surge was because people were traveling home to celebrate the Spring Festival holiday. They went home, saw the housing price, and thought they might be able to afford one, and then they just went on and bought one.
So, have you had friends do this? Is this
Yeah.
something like, okay, because I mean, of course, we're reading about this, we're seeing it in the news, but Lai Ming, personally, you've had friends that have done this?
Yeah, actually, a relative, my cousin, bought a new apartment in my hometown, just a few weeks, maybe a few days before the Spring Festival. She was traveling home to be with her family and thought the housing price and thought she could afford one. And she bought the apartment without asking for a loan from a bank.
So there's definitely advantages to buying back home. Maybe it's not as expensive, these kind of things. And when you're back home, maybe you realize, oh, I miss home so much. But okay, so you've had family do this, but can you tell me a little bit about the landscape in China? What is this report exactly saying? It's not just your family that are buying homes
Yeah,
back
it's
where you
not just
live.
my family. Actually, another friend of mine also bought an apartment in Haikou, although she is from northeastern part of the country. And we know that, well, people from the northeastern part of the country, perhaps they feel a little too cold when winter, and they would like to spend time in the southern part of the country,
Yeah, that
and
sounds
which is
nice.
why Hainan is so popular. Yeah, and that's one another story that we mentioned earlier, but a general picture of what's going on in China. In February, Anjike, which is a major online real estate listing platform in China, released a report on home buyers who work in big cities but nonetheless are looking to buy an apartment in the hometown. And the research sampled nearly 600,000 non-locals in cities where Anjike operates its business, including all first-tier cities and 15 second-tier cities. Now, these cities, well, has not been specified, have not been specified in Anjika's report, but we know, well, the report samples 600,000 non-locals. That's a pretty impressive figure. And the research found nearly 60% of non-locals have the desire to buy a home in their hometowns. More specifically, 38% want to buy a home in their hometown, while 21% want a home in the capital city of their home province.
So we're seeing as we break that 60% apart, a lot of people want to live specifically in their hometown, but then there's some people that are saying, you know what, maybe I'll buy some property in the capital of this province where I call home. So also, can you tell us a little bit more, Liu Min, about this about these people that were surveyed?
Yeah, let's find out who these people are and some features among those who saw to show this kind of interest in housing purchase in their hometown. More than half are those people aged 30 and above because they can afford one, right? And some, according to this report, some single people accounted for only 19%.
Oh, so
And
a lot of them will be married.
yeah, exactly. And 80% are from third and fourth tier cities. and some neighboring cities and township, but 70% of them work in first or second tier cities. And at the same time, 83% of those surveyed hope to buy a three-bedroom apartment within 1 million yuan. So they have a kind of amount of money that in hand they expect to spend on this kind of house.
So let's kind of put this all together and make a little summary of these people. They're young. They're married, okay? They're from third or four-tier cities.
Small places.
But they're working in first or second-tier cities, okay? And they're setting aside money. They're setting aside a lot of money. But they're deciding to spend this money on apartments back home. And so what are the reasons for such home buying, Lai Ming?
I mean, first of all, 33% of those surveys said they would like to buy a home in the hometown to improve the living conditions of the elders and young kids at home.
So remember, what do you mean by that, exactly?
Well, what do I mean? Well, remember the demographics of those surveyed. Those are non-locals working in first and second tier cities, and they're from small cities. And they're not young. They are above 30, and they're mostly married, so they probably have kids. And for a lot of people, young people like this, I mean, they're not young, but still relatively young than established families or people. And they probably have kids, but they can't seem to afford an apartment in the city they work for. For instance, people in working in Beijing, they don't necessarily are making, they're not necessarily making enough money to afford them an apartment in Beijing. But then they are married and they probably have kids. So the only way they can raise the families is perhaps to have the kids sent back home in their hometown somewhere in Hubei or in Hebei or in Henan, and then they have this desire to improve the living conditions of those who remain behind, who remain in their hometown, like their adult parents. They like to show their devotion to the family, and buy an apartment to improve the living standard is one way.
Right. And, you know, I was thinking about this. So 33% of those surveyed said they would buy a home in their hometown to improve living conditions for elders and young kids, is what you said. I think I look at this a bit different. I think they're, you know, in their 30s, maybe they met in first tier cities. They're looking to start a family, but I don't necessarily think they have kids in the cities they're from that, are, you know, they're young. So like these kids are maybe super young. I mean, when did they have kids? They're only 30. I don't think 30 is that old, especially for folks that are actively working in first-tier and second-tier cities. I think we see it's pretty common for the young professional, which I think these people are in many circumstances, to wait to have kids. So I think they're preparing for it. They're saving the money. I think we see the preparation there with the 1 million yuan you had said they're saving, Liu Min. And I think they're obviously thinking about houses, and they're obviously in relationships. They're couples, probably married. I think that maybe what they meant by this, this 33%, is something I've thought of doing. Is, you know, my dad, he rents his place. He loves it. It gives him this feeling of freedom. But I think he's getting, you know, later on in life, getting older and whatnot. And I think he has this feeling of, oh, you know, it would be nice to have a place to call home. This kind of feeling of, I own this property. And I was thinking, you know, if in my career in the next few years, I'm able to make an investment back, let's say, in the U.S., I remember I called my dad not so long ago and I said, hey, Dad, so I have a question. You know, if I'm working abroad or in a different country and stuff, but I start to think about doing something like investing back home, buying a house, I think that's a good idea. Would you stay in it? Would you take care of it for me? And these kind of things, I kind of tried to phrase it like, hey, I need you, Dad, you know, because I do need my dad. I want him to be okay. But at the same time, in my heart, I was like, I want him. I want to know he's okay. I want to know he has a place to stay. And it's a good investment. It's a win-win.
Yeah.
And being somebody like these youngins here, I say youngins, Lai Ming, 30s young, okay?
Of course.
All right.
30 years young. these youngins aren't going to – they're renting. I think, you know, they're there for opportunities. But I don't necessarily think this is the place where they want to maybe start a family. I mean, and it's expensive. That's another reason why people, I guess, according to this survey, aren't buying property in like first-tier cities like Beijing. 29% said they had to settle with a home in their hometowns because they can't afford an apartment in the city they work. You know, it's the difference between buying a box in Beijing or a nice house in another place, you know, and they're going to be the same price. Mm-hmm. The box in Beijing or the house in some other city. So I think sometimes the choice is pretty simple. But what are some other reasons?
Well, 23% said they do so because they plan to start a career at home at some point in the future. And 10% said the purchase would be a form of investment and they expect the property to appreciate in the future. And then 5% said they did not yet have qualifications to buy housing in the city they work, for example, in Beijing. Mm-hmm. To curb a rampant housing speculation in the past decade, non-locals now are required to build a 5-year tax record before they are entitled to purchase a home in the city.
Interesting.
So, and also I thought about the point you just made. I think I can relate to that. And also some contributions on my part. I believe that in China, this is a different case. I mean, a lot of us, my generation, in their 30s, they are probably single child. And they probably receive good education because there's only one kid in the family. The parents probably shelled out a lot of money to make sure that they're well educated. Mm-hmm. And that's why they can find a job, a well-paying job in a first-tier city. But being the single child in a family, there is a lot of challenges. There are a lot of challenges. For instance, for young kids or in their 30s working in first-tier cities, they cannot yet afford an apartment in Beijing, and yet they want to make sure that their parents are well taken care of. As we see in the example of my friend who bought an apartment in Haikou, obviously, certainly, there is this tendency for people from northeastern part of country to like an apartment in southern China. But I think this is as much as to do with the tradition or the preference as it is has to do with my friend's willingness or desire to make sure that her parents is well taken care of. And being the second child of the family means, well, probably the parents have already saved up a lot of money. Mm-hmm. And in the case of my friend, she paid a half of the down payment, and then her parents paid the other half, and that's how they made the deal done.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so Liu Min, I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, 23% of these people that are taking part in this report or this survey said they're going to start a career at home, and this is maybe a reason why they're purchasing you know, their house in their hometown.
Yeah.
Okay, and then also saying things like 10% would purchase because it's a form of investment in the town. Maybe they think it's gonna, one day this third tier city or fourth tier city is gonna be a second tier, then a first tier. What do you think about that? Do you see that happening?
I do see this happening because some of the second tier cities or third tier cities, they are really developing very fast. And in recent news reports, we can see that smaller city, not but provincial level cities like Wuhan or Qingdao, they pop up all kinds of favorable policies to attract young people, the talents to work in their cities. Mm-hmm. Very good, you know, policies. So those people tend to, you know, I can't afford Beijing, Shanghai, but of course I can get a house here. So that's why lots of people saying, okay, why not I go there's this kind of friendly city to work there and start a life there. So that's why 20% of those people believe that they can find a life, a career there.
Yeah.
And at the same time, it's a kind of investment. As long as many people flock to this kind of city and work there, that would be a very good investment. Otherwise, it won't be a very good one.
I think we live in the 2.0 times, which means you don't need to be around resources like wood and being near the east to have the water, to have shipping, to be a successful business person. Now it's innovation. It's an idea. It's an app.
Yeah, exactly.
That changes lives and people use it to kind of make business. Mm-hmm. This can be done anywhere in China. And this is what's very exciting is cities are racing to be a part of this, right? To be a part of the future of China. And I think it's very healthy because it means more first-tier cities possibly here in China. But then also, too, that being said, with these kind of ambitions of starting a career at home, people are investing back home, which is going to make, you know, more people, more cities, more healthy. I mean, maybe less left behind children, these kind of things happening. That's always a good thing as well. But, you know, this will have an effect on the current, if this kind of thing continues, it will have an effect, I think, on the current real estate situation that happens for maybe people that are young from third and fourth tier cities working in cities like Beijing. I guess what it's called is the spillover effect, which is maybe for non-locals in first tier cities, they tend to buy apartments in neighboring cities. For example, Beijing, non-locals are buying homes in Baoding, Tianjin, and Shijiazhuang. So that being said, this is where people normally were buying places. Maybe these cities were doing well. They were getting a lot of investment. But if this kind of trend continues of people maybe going home for the holiday and then saying, man, I really miss home so much. And how great would it be to live around my parents and see them every day and these kind of things. I think everybody wants that to some extent. And so I think that's why we've seen the kind of real estate in places people call home, third and fourth tier cities, do well over the holiday. But so does it make sense to buy an apartment when you're not living in that city, guys? What do you think? Here in China, does it make sense?
Well, it depends for what reason you're buying an apartment in your hometown. I mean, whether it makes sense depends on largely on that. I mean, to improve, if you buy an apartment to improve the living standard for your family members who stay at home, it may make sense. And there are actually some examples that I have seen in my life. I mean, I grew up in a village, in a small village. And the house that my mom and that my parents built, actually, they took a loan from a bank and then bought the rights to the land and then built a house. And back then, when I was a kid, that was the newest building in the village. And then around the year 2003, after I left home to college, and then twice every year, I would go home to for the holiday, and that's the time when I see tremendous changes going on in the village that I grew up in. And my neighbors, they're all building these tall new buildings. They have torn down their old houses and building new ones. And the old house of my parents now is overshadowed by those tall houses, and in the literal sense of the word, overshadowed. So there's been this tradition for Chinese people who may make a lot of money when they go out and work as migrant workers, and when they go home, they want to improve the living standard for the family members, and that makes a lot of sense. But to speculate in the housing boom and to anticipate that maybe buying an apartment now will make me a lot of money in the future as the housing price continue to increase, that may not be so true in the future. I mean, for some cities, it depends on the cities where you are buying the new house or the new apartment. You mentioned Baoding, Tianjin, and Shijiazhuang, and also Liu Ming just mentioned about cities like Wuhan, Xi'an, maybe Chengdu. Those cities are going to be the future or second, if not first tier cities in China. Geographically speaking, you know that there are going to be a lot of people swarming into the cities.
Yeah,
but for other smaller cities like Hefei or Nantong, I'm not sure that's going to be the place where a lot of people will swarm into. And likewise, I think the general in the future housing price is going to depend on how many people are going to be living in the city. And if you are not sure that more people are going to visit or settle down in that city, then you are betting your money against all odds.
Indeed. And at the same time, also lots of young people would leave those smaller cities, like the third, fourth, fifth tier cities. Lots of young people think there are no job opportunities over there, so they just leave those cities. So for those cities, it's not a very good place for you to input your money in. It's not a very good investment.
Well, I mean, also, it's kind of hard to invest in first-tier cities and second-tier cities. So, I mean, there's a double side to everything, and I think you guys are painting one side of the picture, but I also think for young people in their 30s, this is a pretty safe investment. These places are cheap real estate. And mm-hmm. the future of China looks very bright right now, especially with all these cities pursuing kind of specialized industries with the 2.0 era that allows them to. You know, the reason why many of these places kind of have been left behind in certain ways is because industry was easier when it's on the coast of China, when things are being shipped back and forth and these kind of things. That's why you see so much industry in the east, right? But now that's maybe not the case. And so I think it's really exciting. And the fact of the matter is, too, I think one of the things I speculate is, what will this do to the people that called these places home? Like Lai Ming had said in this place he called home, right? You know, his house, his parents' house were overshadowed by these big buildings. Well, question I have is, if all this investment starts to trend heavier and heavier, will this affect those who called this place home before the investment happened? Suddenly, maybe they're going to be rich because the property they own skyrockets and boom, all of a sudden they're doing well. But then also another side of the coin is, if these kind of cities fade off the map here in China, then maybe those who are pensioners or just not making a lot of money will have a stressful time to find a place to call home. Suddenly there is no kind of cheap city to call home here in China where you can live on a pension, these kind of things. And where do they go?
That is a very good question. I mean, you seem to be pretty optimistic about the future of many cities in China, but I would like to take this more objectively. I mean, we talk about how in our previous shows about how China's population growth has slowed down, and that's not going to be increased dramatically in the future. And then what was the other point I was trying to make? I can't remember. But the thing is, the thing is, not all cities are going to be prosperous in the future. And you have to make sure that the place that you are investing your money is definitely going to have a future.
Indeed. And I care more about those people's feelings, like people talking. We focus on people themselves, and we could see those people really want to have a home in some cities, which they could call a real home. They have the home feeling. Yes. But sometimes they work in a big city and they go back home to visit their parents and kids. So it's kind of a struggle for lots of people.
It's a nice thing to have something you can call home, but make sure you don't buy stuff impulsively, especially major purchase like the housing.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you know, these people, these young people, they're going to shape China. And in which case, wherever they want to call home, I'm sure good things will happen. I hope for the best. I am an optimist.